Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive, and this is the Back to the Future scratch-offs. I'll be giving these away on Wednesday at Red Brick Station in White Marsh, taking a little respite. We're going to be doing the show in Las Vegas next weekend, maybe with Elvis at the pool. I'm not sure, as part of the Maryland party. That'll be happening on Preakness weekend. Then we're getting back to action. We're going to be back at Fadley's later on in the month and also going to Greenmount Station in Hampstead, one of my favorite places to have crab cake and hang out with Chris and the group up there. So we'll be doing that in early June. Can't believe we're talking June. It's early May. Justin Tucker's still not a Raven. And Luke Jones. Is it the pitching or is it the hitting? Is it the hitting or is it the pitching or is this just a bad baseball team as we put on the headlines at Baltimore Positive?
Can I just say yes? I always think back to Buck Showalter when he would be asked an either-or kind of question, and he would often just say yes. It's funny. I have to share this with you because I shared this with my brother-in-law and with my brother. Things are so bad, and you know me, Nestor. I'm not a hockey guy, and I'm not a soccer guy, and I don't say that in a hating kind of way. Those aren't sports that I grew up following, and I still don't really follow today. But on Tuesday, I mean, things are so bad with the Orioles at this point in time. I must say, Inter Milan and Barcelona was on CBS in the afternoon. It was the Champions League semifinal. So phenomenal match. I mean, it was. And I say that as a guy who doesn't know a lick about soccer, but it was great. I really enjoyed it. Went to extra time, all that. And the Caps played game one against Carolina. Now, unfortunately for Caps fans, and I say this, with no glee or anything like that, they lost in overtime, but I thoroughly enjoyed watching those two games over whatever that performance was from the Baltimore Orioles on Tuesday night. And we're saying that way too much at this point in time. And at some point, we're just going to have to accept what the Orioles continue to tell us over and over and over and over and over. I mean, we're less than 3 weeks from Memorial Day at this point, which traditionally speaking is kind of the checkpoint where you say, okay, it's not early anymore. Look. Mathematically, yeah, there's still a ton of baseball to be played. And I'll hear every argument to be made in terms of the American League and three wild cards and all of that. But at some point in time, you've got to start showing some semblance of a pulse, some semblance of life. I mean, this team is 13 and 21 right now. They have the second worst run differential in baseball at minus 63. If you didn't know anything about the players and you just looked at all these teams, you looked at the standings, you looked at run differential, the idea in baseball that run differential tends to be something that you indicate as predictive, as something that will indicate, okay, is a team really lucky, really just really bad? It's indicative of a really bad team to be at minus 63 through 34 games. And
Well,
you
they did
start.
have a 20-run differential in one of the games. So,
I mean,
right? I mean,
they
they did.
did, but they also have plenty of other games where they've lost 9-1, like they did on Tuesday night, where you just say, I mean, it's bad. It's bad. And does that mean I think they're going to lose 100 games, like the pace that they're currently on right now? Probably not. But you start doing the
I hadn't
math.
thought about that, by the way. You just said that out loud. They're on a 100-loss pace. That's a hell of a number.
I mean, they are. I mean, that's where
That
they
is,
are right now.
yeah, I mean.
A 382 winning percentage, but you start to do the math and you start thinking about this. So, and I'm not saying that this is the number this year, but generally speaking, since we've pivoted to three wild cards in each league, I think you look at, kind of a benchmark of 87 wins, 88 wins, that kind of feels about right. And maybe it's less. Maybe the third wild card will be an 84 win team this year, right? But just for purposes of this exercise, for the Orioles to go 88 and 74, which, would if they did that, you'd feel good about them being a wild card at the very least.
You feel good about them in general if they won 88 games
Sure,
right now.
because that entails playing like a 95 win baseball team the rest of the year. Even with this team at full strength going into the season, and I guess they weren't at full strength going into the season, but I think you understand what I mean by that. I don't think there were too many people who thought this was going to be a 95 win outfit. And when you look at the pitching, You look at the fact that they're 28th in runs allowed per game. They are now down to 23rd in runs scored per game. This isn't below average offense. This is teetering towards just plain bad offense. And we saw that. And look, Pablo Lopez is a good pitcher. And, if it's any given night, he can make some good offenses look bad.
And he's
But,
not even left-handed.
right, exactly. He's not even left-handed. So, but I mean, you struck out 17 times on Tuesday night. It's just at some point in time, the Orioles emphatically are telling us what they are.
By the way, did you see
And
the Will Clark video?
Will Clark.
Oh, go ahead. You look him up.
No.
That just Will the Thrill played for the Orioles.
Okay,
Good guy. He liked
we'll get
me,
to that in a
but
moment.
nonetheless. So
Yeah, because
nonetheless, he just
you
said something
piqued my
about striking
curiosity.
out.
Okay.
The striking out thing was just sort of like he did a very, very profane thing about striking out and sucking. But nonetheless, go ahead. I have to get some comedy in here because
Yeah.
if I don't, I'm going to sit with Mickey Coachella next week on his podcast. I'm trying to be funny,
Well,
working
that's
my
why I
way up,
let
you know.
off. I mean, you know me. I'm not Mr. Soccer or hockey, and I'm telling you that I've resorted to started to watch soccer and hockey because things are so bad. But I just you look at this thing, and it's just all right. I'll hear Zach Eflin looks like he's on track to return this weekend, and that's going to help. But because goodness, I mean, Charlie Morton's starting another game now. So this team on the heels of having a three-game losing streak and a
Hold
season.
on a second.
He's starting tonight.
They put Charlie Morton back in the rotation,
I
right?
mean, for now,
We
for this
gotta
start,
stop and just stop the music for a minute and
they
talk about
need
that.
to, they're pushing back Dean Kramer a day. I'm guessing it has to do with the line drive he took off his leg. But that's where they are. Brandon Young in Triple A, which not saying Brandon Young looked great in his two starts as an Oriole. He's on the IL now with a shoulder issue. I mean, their pitchers either can't perform or they can't stay healthy. I mean, it's just it's a bad baseball team. And I would love nothing more than to be able to have a mea culpa in 3 weeks and say, all right, maybe we jumped the gun a little bit. But I mean, they're exuding everything that bad baseball teams do. Their pitching is awful. Their offense is below average to bad at this point.
Yeah, I think this is the stuff that gets people fired, right? And I know we talked about this a couple weeks
Yeah.
ago, and I look at it and I just the organization and Rubenstein's hiding, and like he didn't know enough to make a baseball decision to hire a baseball guy. I don't know who he listens to at this point, who's got his ear, whether they
Yeah.
know anything about baseball. People are writing to me now. I literally got, I'll read my letter out loud to you in a minute because after a 9-1 loss, we're only going to go so much. We're going to break down every strikeout. I don't know what we're going to do,
I do want to talk about Cade Povich a little bit, but
but
go
as
ahead.
bad as it's been, that was my thought. My thought, because I reread my dear Katie Griggs letter for my own edification, because I'm writing a letter to Justin Tucker, and I'm just trying to pick up my own writing tone on just where I am in life and the frustration that I have spoken to you about earlier this week, the frustrations that Sig and I spoke about last week, frustrations that I wear on my sleeve in a general sense about the disappointment about on and off the field. I mean, with the Ravens on the field's fine until Mark Andrews drops the ball, or they miss a kick, or they don't show up on the podium, or they have to cut their kicker for football reasons while drafting another. Like, it's just on and on and on. But this baseball season was supposed to be something. You know what I mean? Like,
It's
this is
miserable.
not, I mean, it's not crying over spilled milk. This is like, this guy inherited, I'm talking about Rubenstein, a team that had a lot of problems, but the shining light was, the one biggest problem is the field and what's on the field. You're going to be okay with that, dude. Like, you're going to have good players, and this is going to be a good team. I'm exasperated, and it's May. I don't know what to say.
Yeah, and look, they are very injured. We have to continue to acknowledge that they are very injured, and that's a big part of this. And this is why I'm not sitting here saying that I would expect this team, as it's presently constructed, that they should be 21 and 13 compared to 13 and 21. But you're at a point where you're very much in danger of burying yourself at this point. I mean, we already said they have to play like a 95 win team the rest of the year just to win 88 games. And where's the help coming? Okay, I'll hear Eflin. You hope it makes their starting rotation better to the point where Charlie Morton doesn't have to make any more starts. And whether they let him dabble in the bullpen for a little bit longer or whatever happens, fine. But that doesn't turn the rotation from horrendous to good overnight or good enough overnight. And the offense, Tyler O'Neill just started a rehab assignment at Norfolk. Westberg's getting ready to start one. Those guys should be returning. But I still look at the lineup on Tuesday night, and don't get me wrong, it's not a lineup at full strength, but let me just go down the names real quick. Mullins, Henderson, Rutschman, O'Hearn, Mountcastle, Holiday, Kerstad, Mayo, Carlson. The only name there that really stands out, like if we were talking about this lineup in February, is Dylan Carlson's playing tonight.
Who?
The other eight guys are, whether it's their best nine or not, when everyone's healthy, they're legitimate guys. They're guys that we've talked about, or guys that are on the come, allegedly, like Heston Kerstad and Kobe Mayo the last couple of
Well,
years,
Buck
right?
would say
So,
you better have some pile divers in there. We got the
right.
wrong team.
But my point is with that, so that lineup, you look at that lineup and say, oh man, the injuries are really catching up. I mean, those are eight guys that we've talked about as being either guys that are established major leaguers or guys that are going to be real things for you over the next few years. And, I don't want to pick on him individually, but Kobe Mayo isn't a major league third baseman. He continues to show that, and he struck out three more times. I mean, this goes back to last August. I'm waiting for Kobe Mayo to show me a sign that he's a major league baseball player. I mean, this guy's a top 15, 20 prospect in baseball, and his struggles continue. And he's not the only one, let's be clear. And we've seen that in terms of guys getting to the majors and giving too much of a vibe that they're a quad A player. But meanwhile, Kyle Stowers goes to the Marlins, and go look at his numbers. He's having a terrific year. Maybe the Marlins figured something out that the Orioles' genius player development couldn't unlock. But it's just, there's a lot of frustration. You could tell how frustrated I am watching this baseball team, because it's a bad baseball team. This isn't 13-21 with a -7 run differential where you say, man, they've had some rotten luck and some one run games. And no, this they've played a lot of uncompetitive baseball, non-competitive baseball. And at some point in time, like, you just have to start believing what they're telling you over and over and over and over. David, we're the second week of May now. They still haven't won three games in a row. They've won two series all year. It's not that early anymore to just keep saying, oh, it's just a bad, it's
Well,
a
when
slow
you've
start.
only won two series all year, it means you lost the rest of them, kind of,
Yeah,
sort of, because you're not
yes.
splitting a whole lot anymore.
And again, the run differential and everything, the run differential would tell you, and let me pull it up just to be completely accurate and fair here.
Because you got to
But
tack eight more on. It's a plus eight or a minus eight,
well, it's a
depending on how
minus
you look at it.
63, but I'll give you a nerdy, a kind of a nerdy statistic here that people use. So Pythagorean win-loss record has to do with, based on how many runs you've scored compared to how many runs you've allowed, right? And we already said they're minus 63. So they are 13-21. Their Pythagorean win-loss record suggests they're playing, they're an 11-23 team. So from that standpoint, based on the run differential, they actually have a couple more wins than you'd expect. So that tells you that, I don't want to say they're lucky, but it tells you that just how bad this is. So, I mean, it's something's got to give. And
Well, the
when
gotta give is these players have to hit the ball because there's no one else coming at this point.
well, it's that,
And to
but
some degree, these pitchers have to pitch. Charlie Morton has to make it through
sure.
5 innings one night sometime and give them a chance to win. And maybe that just won't happen anymore. I mean, we're
Right.
again, he's 41 years old. That's not,
Yeah.
you've been borrowing from Father Time for a long time. He wins all wars.
And to be very clear, even if you thought Charlie Morton was, quote, washed up, even if you were in fear of that happening, I still don't know if many people thought he'd have a 10 ERA, right? Maybe 5.5, six,
Or listen, but
but
hey, with 41, it becomes unserviceable.
it does.
It's
I hear
what
you,
Craig Kimbrell is.
but at
It
the same
becomes
time,
like, dude, we just can't do this.
but at age 40, he was still, it's not, as I even said, he had a decent, he had a find September. Like, it
Dude, I'm
wasn't.
with you. It's a whole lot more problematic that Coby Mayo can't find the baseball than it is a
Well,
41-year-old pitcher
I mean, all of
might be
it's
washed up,
problematic, right? I
right?
mean, all of it's problematic. I mean, yeah, they have young players who are supposed to be really good. And I mean, Adley Rutschman's hitting 211. You know, Ryan Mountcastle, who did have an RBI double on Tuesday night, you know, drove in their only run. Ryan Mountcastle has a 315 slugging percentage. I mean, go down the list as far as how these guys are performing or not performing. I do find it interesting in this. You know, I say this in jest to a point, but maybe not. Jackson Holliday, who's really started swinging the bat well, and you kind of look at his numbers, they're looking quite representative at this point. I mean, he's looking the part of an ascending young player who's playing better and better.
He
He's
hits the ball hard,
hitting
man. He makes
272 now.
contact.
Yeah, and he struck out twice. I mean, everyone struck out on
Right.
Tuesday night, but you know, he had a hit. He's hitting 272. His OPS is up there, 780-ish. But he recently noted that his dad noticed something with his stance and made an adjustment. And look, let me be clear. I don't say this to in a way that's making fun of the Orioles hitting coaches, because it's Matt Holliday. I mean, a guy that's going to go down as a Hall of very good-ish kind of, he had a heck of a career, right? I mean, not saying a Hall of Famer, but someone who brings a level of credibility that the average player's dad, even if they played in college or played some, dabbled in minor league ball or something like that. But I say this in jest, but at the same time, well, maybe Matt Holliday should be their hitting
Yeah, they
coach.
should hire him.
Right. I mean, and it's funny. And again, I'm saying that tongue in cheek mostly,
If
but
Peter Angelos were here, he'd be on staff now,
yeah. And
you know. I mean,
again, I'm not seriously calling for that. However,
he'd say, does he know more than Rick Dempsey, is what he would
There is
say.
something to be said that I've noticed the Mariners, for example. And the Mariners, obviously, their offense was awful last year. And that was, you know, that was a big sticking point for them in terms of they had this great starting rotation and their offense just didn't do the job. They hired Edgar Martinez. They brought Edgar Martinez into their program as far and I don't think he's their official hitting coach. I think he's like their offensive strategy advisor, something like that.
Well, only
Point is,
because Tony Gwynn's dead, I would say Edgar Martinez may be on earth the best
yeah.
hitter I've ever seen.
But I guess,
Like,
but
literally,
right,
right? I mean, when I'm thinking
sure.
about maybe Ichiro, but other
But I
than that.
guess my point is, and the Mariners, I mean, they have, you know, they have a general manager that's cut from the same kind of teeth, you know, cut from the same cloth as a Mike Elias, you know, when you talk about where they are. But, you know, Jerry DePoto is of course who I'm referring to. I think he's their president of baseball ops, but you know they have Edgar Martinez in the mix there, who's not someone that you would think of that you know is an analytics guy. And look, he might be very well versed in that, but I guess my point in making and saying that, and again, this wasn't me seriously calling for Matt Holliday to be their hitting coach, but maybe there does need to be a greater emphasis on some coaches with a little carrying a little more clout from a major league experience standpoint. Maybe there's something to be said for a little more emphasis on the human element. We've talked about that with the roster construction, with the veterans. But whatever the case, and again, this kind of brings it back to my big picture question here or
Also brings it
concern,
back to my email, but go ahead. It's good.
is, you know, my question here is, you know, are we going to continue to just keep doing the same thing here? I mean, your player development gets these guys to Triple A and ready to the for the majors, but is there something missing? Is there something that other teams have caught up to that you need to make an adjustment here? As I mentioned, the changes they made from a hitting coach standpoint, you know, really kind of looked more like window dressing than drastic changes. You know, they promoted two guys from within and they hired an assistant hitting coach from the Mariners, who I just spent time talking about
Well,
how
the
bad their
question would be,
offense
was
was
the
last
hitting
year.
broken last year,
Well,
or was it
that's
just
what,
broken in October? What was it
well, the
broken at
second half,
all? And yeah, I
I
mean,
mean,
you
and
blaming the hitting coaches because Jackson Holliday and Coby Mayo couldn't hit, or because the rest of them were okay, right? I mean, I didn't look at last year and say heads have got to roll about the hitting. I would say that May 7th of this year.
second half though, the hitting did fall off. I mean, we talked about it with Rutschman, whether, you know, whether how much of it was health and how much of it was bad habits, maybe direct tied to health. Well, He's been better in
I don't
terms of
know.
he's
We just
drawn
didn't
more
talk about
walks.
bad instruction last so much last. So that's all I'm saying. I mean,
Well,
that
but
now we are because
when
that's right.
everyone's
Now they're a
struggling,
mess. Yeah.
you have to ask these questions. You need to be self-critical. You have to be introspective in terms of why this is the way it is. And that's why, you mentioned Rubenstein, and look, that's it getting to a, it will get to a point potentially where that becomes a bigger factor. But this is Michael Elias who has to look at this point in time and say, is there something that's missing here? Because our hitters who do great through Triple A, including Kobe Mayo, they come to the majors and Rutschman his first 2 years, Gunnar Henderson of course, but we're seeing enough guys struggle where is there something missing here? When I say struggle, I don't mean like, oh, they need to be a 300 hitter from the moment they arrive, but some of these guys that you're talking about prolonged issues or guys that are regressing in some cases, where I ask, is something missing? Is something, did teams catch on to something that you did that was cutting edge from a hitting development standpoint? And they've caught up and they've now been able to adjust. And now you haven't made an adjustment to their adjustment, right? I mean, I'm not saying that's what it is definitively, but my goodness, these are the questions you have to ask. I've used this analogy since the second week of the season. The pitching is a D student that's getting Fs right now, right? We didn't think the pitching was very good. Even when it was close to full strength, we had our questions whether it was going to be good enough. So, yeah, the pitching is awful, but I can't sit here and say that I'm shocked that it's been awful. I am shocked that their offense is what was supposed to be allegedly an honor student, the strength of your team, and got a D plus average at this point. I mean, they're below average and they're bottom 10 in runs scored per game at this point. And I know they've been banged up, but as I said, you look at that lineup Tuesday night, on paper, that's the lineup that everyone's been hyping the last few years in terms of, oh, you get Kerstad here and you get Mayo here, and it's just like, what gives? This is so far below the bar, and it's why I've banged so much on the hitting. Almost like we have, you even joked as we were texting the other day. It's almost like an Abbott and Costello routine
Dude,
where you
three
talk.
hits and 17 strikeouts speaks for itself,
I
right?
mean, it's
I
just,
mean,
and
doesn't
let's go.
matter that they gave up nine. They did. They could have given
Sure.
up four. It wouldn't
And
matter.
right. And let me be clear. And this is where we can bring it back specifically to what happened Tuesday night. I mean, Cade Povich in the third inning, things completely fell apart for him. And, I kind of looked at, I went back and rewatched that inning even. And, he went up against the lineup that was what, all but one hitter was swinging from the right side, some switch hitters in that lineup too. But that third inning, he relied so much on curveball and fastball. When you're a lefty going up against a lot of right-handed hitters, a big part of what was talked about this spring and early this season when Cade Povich has looked better has been that kick changeup that he's throwing. His changeup wasn't even a factor. He wasn't even trying to throw it in that inning. And I kind of questioned the pitch selection there. And obviously, he located poorly located a couple fastballs, poorly located a couple curveballs, and before you know it, it's 5-0. And then at that point, yeah, you're thinking, man, this game's shot because your offense has done nothing early on, and now they're down 5-0. But I looked at that, and the other innings he pitched fine, and at the very least he gave them enough length that their bullpen wasn't completely shot on Tuesday night, although certainly late in the game it didn't pitch well.
It
But
only takes one bad inning and it's over.
yeah, no question. But I just kind of looked at that inning and I kind of questioned even the pitch selection. So I mean, it's just there's nothing I like about this team right now. I mean, and I don't say that with any level of hyperbole. There are certain individuals that are having good seasons, like Ryan O'Hearn's having a really good year. We've talked about Mullins, although Mullins the last 2 weeks has really cooled off. Jackson Holliday's of all their young guys, Jackson Holliday's the one guy that it's like, hey, it looks like he's starting to really figure this out, and that's great to see, right? Because
I
with
can see
young
Gunnar
guys,
Henderson figure it out again and
yeah,
Adley Rutschman
I want to
figure it
see
out
Gunnar.
again.
I want to see Gunnar Henderson look, and Gunnar swung the bat a little bit better of late, but he's still not hitting for power. Adley Rutschman has drawn walks. The walk rate has gone way up back where it was the first couple of years. That gives me some hope, but the overall profile is a sub 700 hitter, 700 OPS hitter. I mentioned Mountcastle. Kerstad continues to
Not look like a
not
big
hit
league
for,
player.
I mean, I'm not ready to go that far, but certainly not looking like a starting to me, looking like more like maybe a reserve, which even then it's a flawed, that's a flawed profile because he's not strong defensively. So it's not a whole lot to be encouraged by right now. Other than, yes, Zach Eflin's coming back this weekend, the way it sounds, if his bullpen session midweek goes well. So that's good. That will make them better. How much better? Well, he pitches once in the rotation, right?
Well,
He's
this is
one.
where Kyle Gibson and the rest of this thing,
I
like
mean, it's got
the
to be
names
better.
we've thrown out, Shigano has to continue to be the one guy every fifth day to give him a chance to win.
But even with that, you just look at this. It's like it's not. It doesn't carry the makeup of a team that has the ability to get on a roll. I mean, it just doesn't. I mean, and to be clear, being 13-21, that doesn't mean you have to win 14 straight and make it all up at once. You can. You're still. There's still enough time to say you win two out of three. You win two out of three. You win two out of three. You split a four-game set. Win two out of three. Right? I mean, if you can
Well,
do
they'll
that,
be up
which,
late at night this weekend trying to do that against the Angels, right? I mean,
yeah.
especially against these bad teams. They've got, I mean, I don't know, they are a bad team.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing. I mean, you look at it on paper and you say the month of May. I mean, the schedule sets up to get back in this thing. But at the same time, the Twins and the Angels and other teams that the Orioles are going to be playing here in the coming weeks are looking at Baltimore and saying, "Man, they're really struggling. This is a chance for us to win some games here." I mean, the Twins have been bad. I mean, the Twins are, I don't want to say kindred spirits that they're exactly like the Orioles, but remember the Twins had that awful September last year where, they didn't make the playoffs and, that's kind of carried over to this year where, again, they've been underwhelming and disappointing in the AL Central, but well, they looked really good with Pablo Lopez on the hill on Tuesday night. And I'd be remiss if I didn't mention this as well. Another decision, a second guess of Mike Elias, Danny Coulomb. He pitched on Tuesday night. Do you see what his ERA is? Zero. It's still zero. Meanwhile, the Orioles chose C&L Perez, who has a 9.2 ERA. That's one that's still. I said it at the time in the offseason. I mean, they declined a $4 million option for
They were
Coulomb.
worried about him, right? They
I
didn't think he was
assume they
healthy.
were worried about his health. Well, a month and a half into the season, he looks fine, and he's pitched well. Even missing enough bats, which was something I did acknowledge late last year. So, again, whether your predictive models and your numbers that you run and all of that, I question, well, is something wrong with that then? And who knows? Maybe Danny Coulomb breaks down next week and Elias will look smart. But I don't know. I mean, for $4 million for what Danny Coulomb meant to your bullpen the last couple of years, that always felt weird to me. But so far he's pitched really well for the Twins. So just another decision you can kind of point to and say, you start to ask questions as far as just how much confidence you have in any of this at this point. Front office, coaching staff, players. I mean, there's not a whole lot to be overly optimistic about as it pertains to 2025. I'm not, believe me, my tone of doom and gloom isn't that this whole thing is shot to the point where you're going to have to go through a 5-year rebuild again. I'm not there. Let me be clear, but I am very worried at this point that 2025 could end up being a lost season. I mean, because
It already
it's
is so
just,
far. I mean,
yeah.
they
I
have to go a
mean,
long way to
like I
save it,
said, I
right?
mean, you have to play like a 95 win team. You have to play 586 baseball the rest of the year to go 88-74. That's just to go 88-74. And even if this pitching staff does get healthier, you need to make sure you don't lose anyone else in the process. And again, this offense, we're waiting, right? I mean, we're waiting, and it's not getting any better. In some ways, it's getting worse. I mean, go look at what their run output has been the last 2 weeks. It's been bad, like bad, and terrible, terrible pitching with below average to bad offense. Not even take into account the defense or the base running, which those elements haven't been very good either. I mean, they're telling you loud and clear what they are. If they're going to prove otherwise, then it's going to be a drastic shift here at some point sooner than later. But man, it's again, we're less than 3 weeks away from Memorial Day, and this team's got a lot of work to do to make things up, to show that they're a better baseball team than they've shown really at any point here over the first 6 weeks of the season.
All right, so I got something for you here, and this is nothing of any conjecture of mine. I have not made a phone call on this. I have not called any member of the Ripken family or Maroon team or any of the people that I've known for 30 some odd years and traveled halfway around the world with at one point. Will Laws, longtime listener, he's one of the 10 that we have, and wrote me a letter, and I can read it out loud. It has to do with Katie Griggs and press passes and all that stuff, but just asking about Cal Ripken's involvement. And 3 times a week now, people are coming up to me because Cal has put himself on television behind home plate. His kid's doing the podcast. It's Ripken this, it's Ripken that. His brother's on television every day. He's involved in the ownership, part of the ownership. However, I don't, who knows what the financial arrangement to all of that would be. I have not been out allowed to ask any questions. I guess I could text Cal if I wanted to. Maybe I shall. I'd probably talk to John Maroon, the whole, what's the Ripken story on all of this. But the story to the fans is your Edgar Martinez thing, your Matt Holliday thing, the notion that Cal Ripken was always going to ride in on a white horse with a number 8 on it and save the day and save the franchise. I don't think anybody believes that at this point, but some people do. And he is involved, and his hands are sticky, whether he wants it to be or not. I've not in any way thought that Cal Ripken wants to take an 80 hour a week job at this point in his life and be Mike Elias. I don't think that's the gig. I don't know what the gig would be. And I know Cal's now making, he made commercials last year. Feels like he's a little more removed this year, but I have no idea the reality because none of them speak to me. But the Ripken thing is dangling in the populace. That's all. I'm bringing it to light because this is not the first time this week that somebody has said something to me about Cal Ripken coming back to run the team or something.
I mean, it's been rumored off and on. And when I say rumored, not meaning rumors from within the organization per se, or within baseball per se, but just fan conjecture and everything. I mean, it's been talked about for 20 years, off and on. My question to that would be, I mean, what about Cal's profile other than a Hall of Fame player? Since his career ended in 2001, what about his profiles really prepared him? Now, Ripken Baseball and everything that, the Cal Ripken Senior Foundation, all of that, that's well and good. And I'm not diminishing that in any way, but he hasn't really done anything over the last 20 years that would prepare him for any kind of a front office role. I mean, is he
I think
familiar
you
with?
deify him and you demean the position and the job if you knew anything about the job. And Cal knows the job.
I mean,
Cal knows the
I
job.
think
They
there's
all
a
know the
lot. I
job.
think there's a lot to it. I mean, I don't know how well versed Cal is with analytics and the technology that, look, whether you're a believer in Mike Elias specifically or not, all of those things are indeed part of baseball in 2025. You can certainly say that there are some teams that maybe overemphasize those things, or some teams use those things better than others, but those things need to be used. Those are very much a reality of baseball in 2025. So for anyone, and I don't say this to pick on Cal, I would say this for any former player, any former manager, like Buck Showalter, for example. I mean, I think a big thing that kind of led to Buck having a shelf life with the Mets, for example, was he knew enough with analytics, but was it enough that it kept everything the way you wanted it to
Well, let
be
me give
from
you
a
an
long-term
example. My dear
standpoint?
friend Barry Trotz in hockey left the bench to become, to run the team. And this, in Nashville, where he's a legend who never won, and they've been terrible. And I haven't talked to Barry in a year and a half, 2 years, I mean, a long time. I don't know enough about hockey. You know more than me. You watched it yesterday. And I talked about it yesterday with Leonard Raskin a little bit about all the Game 7 madness the other day in Winnipeg and all that. But
Actually, I caught a little bit of that. It was fun.
yeah, I mean, it's fun, right? A lot more fun than losing 9-1 and striking out 17 times with 3 hits. But I would say that that's That's a hard enough transition. If
Yeah.
you're Tito Francona and you think, I want to go do that instead of this, this is like John Harbaugh doing Eric DaCosta's job, or Bill Belichick thinking he's a recruiter at North Carolina now with his
Yeah.
24-year-old girlfriend, who's, they've got all this salacious. It's just crazy.
And
But the movement of that and the fans' minds of seeing Cal Ripken there in the same way that you're very tongue in cheek saying, get Jackson Holliday's old man in here to be the hitting coach. You know what I mean? Like, it's not even sensible, but it's also like we have a neophyte owner here who all he has is Mike Elias. That is his white knight and his North Star, other than maybe Cal Ripken. I made a joke already in this piece about Rick Dempsey being in Angelos's ear. How do you think Flanagan got the gig? Flanagan went up to, that Brady Anderson used to meet with, I mean, Angelos loved everybody whispering in his ear. Tom Davis, what do you think? What do you think? What do you think? Like Trump inviting Bill Maher to the, what do you think? What do you think? I don't think Rubenstein's that guy. He's made $1 billion his own way, several billion dollars his own way. But I don't know what his management style is. I don't know what his tolerance is. I do know this is bad baseball. You know it. I know it. The people know it. But what are they going to do about it?
And let me just go back to this because I want to make sure that I'm framing this the proper way. I'm not at all suggesting that there wouldn't be a role for Cal Ripken in some capacity. And as I said, it could be something that, with everything the Orioles do from a player development standpoint, and using the technology that they use, the analytics, the predictive modeling that their analysts would use, that maybe there is a blind spot that someone like a Cal Ripken could help them with in some capacity. And this doesn't mean he takes over, that he's running the show. It would be, some kind of consultant, or hey, have you
He gave
considered
Adam
this?
Jones some title and he's
Yeah.
in Spain.
Right. So
Yeah. We're talking about who's going to do the
that's when I look at
work. Who's
this.
going to do the work? It's not going to be Cal Ripken. I don't think it is.
And let me be clear. As secretive as they are and as proprietary as they are with a lot of what they do behind the scenes, that's not to say Cal Ripken doesn't have some input here and there on certain things. Because, say what you want. Cal is at the games quite often. He attends
Well, this guy
regularly.
actually wrote to me about whether Cal could get my press pass back, right? So that's where we are, but it's also, hey, maybe he'll run the team,
Well,
and I
and again,
guess.
it wouldn't be like, for me, like it wouldn't be anything like, oh, Cal takes over as general manager or anything like that. Far from that. But is there a potential role? Is there a potential for something that he could identify to say, hey, have you tried this? Or, we used to do this. And, that's where, again, I say this as someone who's been a baseball fan my whole life. There are plenty of terms I use now, and with analytics and advanced stats and knowing the technology that they use and all of that, that I wouldn't even have dreamt of 20 years ago. But that doesn't mean that there aren't elements of the game from 20 years ago that don't still have a place. That doesn't mean that you don't have a blend of the human element and technology, or a blend of some old school principles with what is considered more cutting edge in 2025. So, is there a blind spot there that the Orioles are missing? I don't know. But again, when you're performing like this, everything has to be on the table. And that's why, and we haven't even mentioned him by name in this conversation, but like Brandon Hyde, I mean, do you have to look at making a change at manager or the coaching staff? And let me be clear, when I just asked that question, that does not mean that I think that this is all Brandon Hyde's fault. I don't. The buck stops with Mike Elias. He runs the baseball ops. I mean, he's in charge of all of this. But that said, when you're trying to swim upstream and you're drowning the way that the Orioles are right now, what's the one thing that you can kind of point to make a change in hopes of some semblance of a spark? It is on the coaching front
Well,
more so.
historically, 13 and 21 teams are headed towards getting a manager fired
Yeah,
at some point, sooner or later.
whether it's Memorial Day, June, early June, like Dave Tremblay, or after the season.
And again,
And
most cases that had to do with an itchy trigger finger of an owner, right? I mean,
I mean,
here, I don't think
it
that's going to be
can.
the case.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, again, it all depends on the power structure. I mean, Mike Elias is in charge of baseball in this organization. Now, if they lose 100 games this year, does Rubenstein and the ownership group reevaluate
Rubenstein
things?
didn't hire
But
him. I have no idea how he's
sure.
going to react, right? That's
Well, but that's why to,
that's
but
the
that's
test
why
of all of this, I think.
it is, I think it is
I
in
didn't
the
think
big.
Machado was going to fire Brian Billick after a 13-3, but he did because he was a new owner and he wanted his own thing.
I agree with you in the big picture sense, but in the here and now, within the 2025 season, I think that's a Michael Elias call. And but I think the problem, if you're looking at it, and I don't say this to be personal with Mike by any stretch, but I just think the reality is when you put together the roster and you were the one that was being criticized even before the season started about not doing enough in the off season, and now you're going to fire your manager. Everyone kind of, everyone will say, okay, now
Well,
it's
they're
on
all
you.
trying to make nice with the new owner
So,
too. So,
yeah.
and please him, and like, I mean, that's very obvious, right? How Kevin Brown looks like
I
he's
mean, that's
keeping
going to
his
be,
job.
that's only natural. I mean, any organization, it's going to be that
And
way. Yeah.
I agree with all of that, but I think it's all new, and this amount of struggle can lead to chaotic things. That's all. And I don't know whether it will or won't.
Right.
It's like I wrote to KD Griggs. I'm like Sting in Synchronicity. Every breath you
Yeah.
take, every step you make, every game you play, every day you stay, I'll be watching you. And but I'm watching it, and somebody better take charge of this. And I saw Elias in the dugout over the weekend, and it's just been a crazy week between the Justin Tucker thing and Harbaugh and the Mike Green thing and the draft. And I just. You and I had settled in most of the winter after Andrews dropped the ball and didn't show up. And then the Tucker thing happens that, well, at least we're going to have a baseball season. At least we're going to get together
Yeah.
3, 4 days a week, middle of the week, and we're going to be talking about wins and losses and a race and not firing the manager Preakness week. I mean, this is insane. I did
Yeah,
not
and
see this coming. You didn't see this coming. I don't think baseball saw this coming. And
not to this
now.
degree. Not to this degree.
Look,
Yeah.
dude, if they're the Yankees or the Mets, if they're in a real media market where people like me aren't banned and the talk of the town isn't Justin Tucker and his pants on and maybe the Preakness, I guess. I mean, the Preakness isn't the talk of anything for anybody anymore. Never has been, except for me and my brain. But or that horse race, people care about horse racing here, but they care about the baseball team until they don't, and the team's 13-21, and they were already having trouble selling tickets, and they're trying to sell these $19.99 a month monetization things, and I just this is a shame. I mean, I don't know what else to say, and I'll let you wrap it because we'll have to get back after. They're gonna play
Yeah.
an afternoon game on Thursday. We're gonna be at Red Brick Station on Wednesday afternoon, but this has been a scuffle.
I mean they've got to find a way to start gaining some traction here. I mean you've got to start finding a way to inch back to 500. I mean just or the season it will be over by mid-June, late June. I mean then you'll be talking in terms of like well mathematically you're just you can get all these guys back, you're not going to play like a 105 win team, when you get those guys back. So I mean, they've got to find a way. I mean, if this team right now were 17 and 17, it wouldn't be all roses, right? But I think you could understand it given the injuries that they have. But and
But
you
they could
kind of
be
look at that.
17-17 over the next 17 or 34. I would take that if Eflin comes back and
Yeah.
makes them a 500 team for a while. I'd
Yeah.
like to see that better. You know what I mean? I'd like to
Sure.
see
I mean,
them getting
it
up
would
on
be
the
progress,
All-Star
I
break. If
suppose.
they're
Yeah.
500 at the All-Star break, that's good now. From my way of
Relatively
thinking,
speaking,
that
yeah.
puts them in a position to compete. If you think Bradish is coming, or you
Yeah.
think there's a deadline deal, or Kobe Mayo wakes up and hits the ball, or Gunnar Henderson catches fire and hits 380 for a month and hits 12 home runs next month. I mean, all of that's possible.
Sure.
This isn't Rio
And
Ruiz and Dan
right.
Straley, right?
And I don't think they're going to play like a 100-loss team all year. But at the same time, I wouldn't have told you that they'd start 13-21 either, right? I mean, at some point in time, there are countless examples you can cite all you want about teams that start slowly. I mean, we talked about the Astros last year. I mean, the 1982 Orioles had a poor April, all that. But for every example like that, you'll also find plenty of examples of teams that were supposed to be good and they get off to a bad start and they never really recover. Or they do, but they recover so late into the season that you can't make it up. I mean, the Astros in 2016 were an example of that. They got off to a bad start after their kind of ahead of schedule type year that they had. They got off to a bad start and then they just never recovered. And then they won the World Series the following year. So I'm not saying that's going to be the Orioles by any means, because I'm questioning and or doubting just about everything at this point in time. But Man, I mean, if this continues the way it is, even over the next couple of weeks, I mean, I don't know how you don't take a long look at having to make some kind of change. And I think you know what I'm talking about there. But at the same time, they need everything to be better. And this is not solely on one entity, other than if you want to put it on Mike Elias, because ultimately the buck stops with him, but everything has to be better. Even these young players. I mean, it's not like these guys haven't played baseball before. I mean, these are accomplished players. These aren't snake oil salesman type prospects that maybe the Orioles tried to peddle to you 30 years ago. These are highly touted Baseball America, Baseball Prospectus, FanGraphs, The Athletic, MLB Pipeline. All of them told you these were good young players, and it's not looking so hot right now, and that's just. It's really disappointing. Charlie Morton's one thing, but then you look at everything else that's going wrong, and that's where it's tough to feel as deflating as it feels in the second week of May, but here we are. Yeah, there's a lot of time left, but man, you just got to start showing a pulse. And this team barely shows a pulse for a game or a couple games or a series, and then it's right back to looking like this again.
Well, the Caps will drop the puck soon, and the Toronto Maple Leafs are dropping the puck too. I had Howie Mandel on this week. He's playing down in Annapolis next week. He's a Toronto Maple Leafs fan, so I threw a little hockey reference in. I know you're watching the NBA, the NHL. We got horse races next week. All sorts of things going on around here. You can find us both out on the interweb. You can find Luke out at Baltimore Positive. He will be monitoring all things Oriole baseball as they conclude in Minnesota and then go off to Anaheim this weekend. You can find me at Red Brick Station on Wednesday. I will have the Back to the Future scratch-offs to give away, and Luke and I will be opining on all things fallout of Justin Tucker as I get out and about around the community and hear what the people are saying. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore Positive.